on CKUT, as always. You can find all the stories that I do at ckut.ca/LJI. And I'll be around working on things at the station later in May and June, but we're going to take a little break for the next 3 weeks. The show is going to be off the air, so, feel free to peruse the web archives to keep up with some of the great local journalism that's happening. We also have an active news collective that you can join at any time by emailing spokenword@ckut.ca. Thanks so much for listening. Take care.
Funded by SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Sego, sewaguego. Yoktagoyanyats. Hello, my name is January Rogers, and I'm your host on Words and Culture. Skanagoaga, do you carry the great peace with you? This is a common or general greeting in the Mohawk Ganigeha language. I am Mohawk or Ganigahaga from Six Nations. I am your host for Words and Culture, the Haudenosaunee language episodes, and I had the great honor to join the Cayuga language class at Six Nations Polytechnic for their language games night. They had several game stations set up where students could wander from game to game. Stations like Bone Dice or Indian Dice, Tic-Tac-Toe, Bone and Toggle, and the classic card game Go Fish. It was a great turnout of teachers, students, and their families joining in, and of course, there was food, yummy stew and corn soup, strawberry drink with biscuits and cookies, all homemade, which inspired a warm and welcoming atmosphere to the night. You could feel the close-knit dynamics amongst everyone there. And again, I was just so honored to be part of their very fun and heartwarming night of language games. Shelby Bomberry, one of the Cayuga Games Night organizers, is a soft-spoken Mohawk man who lives what he speaks. He is a proud teacher of the Cayuga language, and he takes great pride in passing the language baton to his students. Shelby makes and plays traditional Haudenosaunee instruments and does other woodworking craft. He's very family-oriented and holds his position as a cultural carrier within the Longhouse with a great sense of responsibility. Jeez, it sounds like I'm writing this guy's dating profile, but don't take my word for it. Let's hear from Shelby himself.
Now we are going to get to the Griho Date Nato, SNP Gay. Toke gadai honyani gaya kono niga wano de ne hat ne gengyokwa ingi as seskai nigago gandi wayasta toke hat nishrege wandanda senior wit wisa don't gas ngoyati toke saniot gas gong hong ka gandi yandeski negi ganad wanunduk gaya kono. So my name is Shelby Bomberry, and I'm one of the teachers here for the program at Polytech. And we have 13 students, and so we're here Monday to Friday. I didn't say this part in Cayuga, but we're here 9 to 3 every day. So they're trying their best to study and learn and do their best to speak also in Cayuga language every day. My mom grew up, and her parents were speakers, but they never really spoke to her. So that's a kind of a generational curse, I guess, for a lot of families around here who live like that. And on my dad's side, his mother was a first language speaker, but she went to a residential school in Brantford, as many have. So she didn't really pass the language on. She understood, from what I understand, if people were speaking near her, she could understand what they were saying, but just could never come out after that. She said it was a lot of fear. So I had to just pick it up on my own. So I started learning here, actually, I guess 5 years ago now, a year after my boy was born, so 2018, that's when I started learning language, and now I'm teaching the program here. So that's a nice little full circle moment, I guess.
And you said you're a Longhouse speaker?
Yes, I do speak at some ceremonies and other functions we have, like the funeral or anything else in the community that they need, like an opening for events and stuff like that.
Shelby is a Longhouse speaker. That means he has been deemed worthy of carrying our cultural traditions, practices, and ceremonies forward. Yes, in the Longhouse, but also in community. The Haudenosaunee Longhouse is historically the physical structure where Haudenosaunee people lived communally. In fact, the word Haudenosaunee translates roughly to people of the Longhouse or people who build the Longhouse. More recently, the longhouse is a much smaller structure used for seasonal ceremonies to take place over several days at a time. Only the language of the nation where the ceremony is hosted is spoken inside the longhouse. This point alone could be inspiration for new language speakers to keep up with their studies. For one day, they too may be tasked to make those speeches or address their people in ceremony. So how did Shelby go from being a non-speaker to being able to go into the longhouse? Because you would need a lot of confidence as a speaker to do that.
Yeah, I guess they kind of picked me too, I guess. So they always say that they're kind of watching you. But one of the teachers here, Alfred Key, Tawinnaikant, he was one of the speakers at the longhouse I go to. So it kind of just worked out that he did a lot of work there as well. But yeah, it was a lot of pretty well every day. Like, I don't really put my books down ever. Even now, today, I'm still learning and studying constantly for everything. So yeah, it's been pretty well every day for the last 5 years or so.
So when they leave this program, they'll be able to converse fluently?
I don't think anyone would ever say fluently, but to the best of our ability, we'll be able to talk about just about everything we could possibly think about, I guess, in the realm of day-to-day activities, routine, jobs, and schooling, and how to teach and what to teach.
Shelby shares more of the language program, where he is one of the teachers, and how they go about producing people who are able to converse in the Cayuga language out of Six Nations Polytechnic School.
So it's technically a 2-year program, so 24 months, but we're going straight through, so we're not stopping in the summer. There's a lot of the program itself, its mission, is that we understood that there's a lot of intermediate level speakers that didn't have the means to get to advance to the next level. So that's what this program was aiming to do, was to take some already proficient speakers and take them to the next level of advance and help them hopefully advance to that level and also teach as well to some degree.
Do you guys create resources out of here?
Yeah, so we create our site instructors. So we build that from all the unit material. So we're creating those, and that'll be a new, I guess, lesson plan for once this program's done. We can repolish it and put it back out there right away for a whole new cohort, and it'll be easier, too, because we have the materials made after all that.
Always thinking, of the next people coming in. For the games night tonight, whose idea was that, and, like, what kind of games is there going to be? Mm-hmm.
So the other instructor, Goy Hoy, she had the idea. So we were talked about it before, so pre-COVID, that time frame, we had language cafes here before, but then they just slowly dwindled out. It was her idea, then we kind of just ran with it and got the students interested in, so they got some games going. So we have some games, Bone Dice, and we were going to have Jeopardy, but that didn't work out. Just time frames and everything. We got Bone and Toggle, and a couple of word games we got. And we got some winter words printed out, so we'll share those as well, so resources.
That is some of the banter at the Cayuga game night. It's where students come to learn in a more informal setting and have a bit of fun and compete for prizes.
Shelby says that on this night, they'll play word games. Bone Dice, Bone and Toggle. Bone and Toggle is played with a stick about 8 to 12 inches in length that has a piece of bone or antler that's been cut into a button shape with the center of it drilled out, tied to the stick with some cord. The idea is to flip the bone piece into the air and try to stab it with the stick so you catch the bone piece onto the stick. This night, the students set a timer to see how many times they could catch the bone piece within 2 minutes.
Yeah, so we're going to try to see how many you can get within a minute. So it'll be a nice little contest for everyone.
Nice.
Prizes?
Oh, I think so.
Okay.
Some good ones in there, I think.
Okay, right on. Well, let's go play games.
Let's go.
Okay.
Please enjoy this song called The Moon by Six Nations Mohawk songstress Lacey Hill.
You can try to fight it.
The title track, The Moon, from Lacey Hill's recently released album of the same name. Lacey is a Six Nations favorite, and we think she's an under-celebrated, hard-working musical talent who does so much to promote her culture and community out there in the world through her music. When you see people having such a great time, it's pretty contagious, and I could barely keep myself from participating in some of the games. So I tried my hand at the bone and toggle game and got pretty good at it using a small size stick, piercing that bone ring almost every goal. But when I switched to the larger size stick, it wasn't easy at all. I remember playing our traditional peach pit game where you play with an uneven number of pits, usually 5 or 7, and the pits are colored on one side. You toss them on a plate to see if more of the colored side land face up, or the natural pit color side has the majority. The players pick a color and wagering sometimes happens. It's kind of like the Indian dice game that was being played on that night. I ran into Michael Hill, a student of the Kyuga language class, but Michael is also a great community initiator, organizing the Six Nations Pride events and dedicating himself to our traditional agricultural pursuits.
My name is Michael, Kyuga Nation Wolf Clan, here from Six Nations. I would say my language journey began during COVID, actually. Grew up with like very minimal, like learning colors, animals, the basics. Then moved for a couple years, didn't learn it, and then came back to it. It was definitely intimidating, but I'm still doing it, still in it, yeah, and I love it. Grateful to be here. Yeah, so I'm in the immersion program during the day, 9 to 3, and then the degree program in the evenings, 5 to 8.
Like, what's the difference between the day program and the degree program?
So, yeah, the immersion program during the day is just, again, just learning. You're pretty much starting from, like, an intermediate, like, low level, learning, like, you know, how to conjugate verbs, how to form sentences, just to have those basic speaking, like, proficiency. The degree program is more so, it's 3 years. So the immersion program is 2 years, the degree program is 3 years. But the degree is just in the evening, and that's just more so focusing on, like, the grammar aspects of Gai Kono. Yeah, so it helps. Like, they're both, like, one's speaking, one's grammar, so you really are getting the full understanding of the language.
We could talk about the mechanics of learning a language all day long, you know, but I really wanted to know, you know, from the heart, like, what's that heart motivation about, you know?
Yeah, oh,
like,
wow.
With the language.
It's community responsibility. It's, like, intergenerational, like, fulfillment, if that makes sense. Like, so my grandfather is a first language Gai Kono speaker, so Peter, right? You know him, right? Peter Bomberry? Yeah, Elaine's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's been amazing to learn as much as I can and speak with him what I can. And because he has no one else to speak with, he's also, like, relearning it as we're talking. So, like, that feeling I can't, like, replace or describe, because just, like, to be able to do that, right? Especially the fact that, like, he never taught my father how to speak, or any of his aunts, or they never learned the language, right? So it was just, it stopped with him, but I'm picking it back up. So it's just, like, filling in that generational gap, right? And also in the longhouse too, like, we're losing speakers, and so a lot of them are older, so they definitely want and need younger people to learn that. So again, it's fulfilling that cultural perpetuity, like, the cultural responsibility. So it's just so much bigger than I am. So if, like, I don't have to be, but, like, I'm glad to be here. Like, I'm so grateful to be here, to be able to do this, to learn it. Yeah.
And so what is that, the dream? Like, not just the goal, but the dream.
The dream?
Yeah.
After this program? Oh, my goodness. So my grandfather has some property that I want to basically turn into, like, a small farm where other people from the community can learn the language, but basically learn the plant, like, in the language. So basically, like, again, addressing that cultural skills gap that we're losing. Like, we're losing all those different, you know, planting or paddling or tapping trees, how to hunt or fish, like, all in the language, right? So that'd be the biggest thing upon graduating this, is trying to get that program, that kind of avenue going, so I can give the language life again to those areas while also rebuilding that cultural community capacity.
Feel like you have to do, like, to be able to fulfill your dream, you have to be in community. I mean, is there any feeling like, oh my god, I'm trapped here?
Oh no.
No,
I'm so grateful to be in this position where I'm at, and, like, I feel like it's definitely where I've been, have been told, I guess, I don't know, like, I'm where I'm meant to be, I guess. Like, I don't feel trapped or anything. It's just, like, this total fulfillment. Like, I love it. Yeah, great.
I love tonight that there's, like, you know, tic-tac-toe, but then there's also stick and bone game and the Indian dice and, you know, the other beans and things. I love the traditional games here. So when you, like, what else... How else can you apply? I love the idea of a garden, but like in your day to day, Michael, when do you get to use your language?
Oh wow, whenever really I can use it. Like, I try to use any and every word, like, during the day that I can. So whatever that may be, like thank you, nyama, or like I think so, neumbi, or I don't think so, tanumbi, sadenyande. Like, I'll try. So that's really, so I'm ready. Like, or you're ready. Like, there's so many just little phrases that I really just try to, like, I'll think about, okay, well, how do I say that in Gai Kono? And I'll try and write that down and just try and incorporate as much language as I can in every day. But mostly with family, like, at the home for sure. Teaching my mom and sister phrases. Nice. Yeah.
I remember when Elaine was home a couple times back, mm-hmm. and she was sitting. We were sitting with her dad on the porch her sister's house, and Elaine brought up the app on her phone. She was checking in with her dad, like how accurate the app was.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
And he was right on it. Like he was right on it. Oh yeah, no, we don't say it like that.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So tell me your relationship or what your views are in terms of, as a learner, having that interpersonal interaction, or is the app good? Is the internet good? Is it, like,
that's
useful?
The thing. Like, they definitely help, for sure. I don't think they should be, like, the end-all and be-all. Because, again, the language has to live in the community, right? So that's what I'm trying to definitely is create these programs, different avenues where people can learn the language and also, like, the cultural skill behind that, right? So... the other thing too, going back to my papa, is like how there are family dialects. So as I'm learning too with our family, that we have our own family dialects that my papa has. So it's like, had I not taken this program and spoke with him, I never would have known that. Like, so that's probably why he hears things differently and says them different, because that's just how, I guess, diverse Gaiakono can be, right? There isn't just one way to say something, so it's so vast, which is also amazing too.
I've been hearing people talk about like the old style language too, though, right?
Definitely.
And do you get to learn any of that in the class, or basically it's just like a little bit mechanical?
Right now mechanical, until we try to build up a proficiency enough to understand those older speakers, then we can kind of start working with that more and adapting it and trying to bring it back, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have any of the old-time speakers come into the classroom?
Yeah, so we have a soup meeting once a month. I think it's the first Wednesday of each month. Yeah, all first language speakers basically just gather in a room, and they're sitting like in a central table, and they're just speaking, and we're just listening, and like they're just, you know, doing their thing. It's just like, I love that. And we're following the same method how they would naturally form words. They call it the root word method. Yeah, so that's basically how we're learning to speak the language.
Amazing. Congratulations. Okay, and I really appreciate you speaking with me about your journey.
Nyawa for coming.
As I mentioned at the top of the episode, the Cayuga Language Games Night had a great energy about it, and I could only imagine that comes from a group of language learners who understand that their collective language journey takes patience, understanding, and support for one another. The night had a beautiful welcoming energy to it, but I couldn't help but feel like an outsider not being able to speak the language or understand what was being said. But I shared in the pride of that night, proud that even after all the attempts to have our languages removed from us, here we are, conversing, laughing, enjoying a full night of language games. Whew, it gets really emotional, you know? So here we go with our three language words for you, the listener, to try. Harvest. Gayun to gua. Gayun to gua. Gayun to gua. Harvest. Come in. Desedawia. Des e da wi ya. Desedawia. Come in. Listen. Sarahun sata. Sa da hun sa da. Sarahun sata. Listen. I'd like to say Nyaogoa to the First Nations Technical Institute out of Tyendinaga Mohawk Territory for being such a great language resource to me, so I can bring these words to you. I'm trying my best, and that's what matters. Next week, I sit down with Gatsihi Yondu, where this young language advocate, speaker, and teacher shares with us his personal, political, and cultural take on Indigenous language promotion. We'll leave you with this inspirational track from the 1998 album Contact from the Underworld of Red Boy. This is Robbie Robertson and Making a Noise. Until next time, onigiwahi. Bye for now. Be well and take care. Thank you.
Making a noise in this world. Making a noise in this world. You can bet your ass I won't go quietly. Making a noise in this world. Everyone has a song.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Onigiwahi.
Gigawabamin. Soko seni deni e. Minen yuji hina.
Ekose.
Kakuhutau. We'll see you again.
Hey, Black, you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
Sego.
Buju anin.
Danacha. At anzenu shuk with an.
Tanse.
Ay, inuhalikay.
This is Words and Culture, a series on Indigenous languages, funded by SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Sego, Sewaguego. My name is January Rogers. I'm Mohawk and Tuscarora, and this is Words and Culture, the Haudenosaunee episodes. I live and work on Six Nations of the Grand River, which is about an hour west of Tagaranto, or Toronto, as you might know it. Tagaranto is derived from a Mohawk word meaning where there are trees standing in the water, and it is part of the Toronto Purchase Treaty No. 13, established in 1805. I lived for a bit in Toronto during my 20s, in and around the 80s and early 90s. It wasn't hard to find community in the big city at that time because the Toronto Canadian Friendship Centre was the hub of all Native activities. I remember going to see stage plays by world-renowned playwright Thompson Highway there, and that is where I took my first Mohawk language lesson from a woman speaker who would drive all the way from Akwesasne just to teach us the language. My guest today is a Mohawk language speaker and educator, Christy Talbot. She has recorded a children's album titled Sing in Mohawk with Yego, and we're going to find out exactly what that means. Christy is a graduate of her Mohawk language class and an early childhood educator, so it seemed natural to put the two skills together in a children's language album. Welcome to Words and Culture, Christy.
Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. Where is your origins?
So I grew up here. I grew up in Fort Erie. I currently live away, but my family's still here, so I'm here often. That means I'm Mohawk. I'm of the Mohawk Nation.
Christy, your album is called Sing in Mohawk with Yego. Is Yego you?
Yeah, she's a character I created a couple years ago. But yeah, I've created a couple children's books that she's in, and this is her singing debut.
Oh, how exciting. So what does her name mean?
Yego Riasio means she is good-hearted.
Oh, beautiful. Tell us about those books, eh?
So there's a few of them. They were kind of created privately, but I, you know, it's in the dream plan to have them published. Anything from, you know, teachings about the Thanksgiving address, teachings about harvest. She's kind of the main character that goes through and explains these things. So they're educational, but they also have these characters that are the main characters that tell the story.
I want to talk about the album, and then we're going to learn. I wanted to learn more about, you know, your language journey. But again, congratulations on this album, which exists on, I think, all of the streaming platforms. Hey, and the music platforms where one can download and purchase the songs and the tracks and what have you. So again, the album is called Sing Mohawk with Yego, and it includes 20 children's songs. That are almost all of them are under 2 minutes long. So it's got that snappy kind of like pay attention, attention span rather for children and for some adults. And all of these songs are songs that, of course, you and I have grown up with as children as well. They're not nursery rhymes, but they're known as children's songs that, you know, that you learn when you're in public school in, you know, your grade one, kindergarten, grade one kind of thing. Like songs like Oh MacDonald, Itsy Bitsy Spider, Head and Shoulders, which is always a good teaching song, hey, for body parts.
How did you come to choose which songs you were going to include on this album?
So, truthfully, I have many more songs translated. I have 50 currently and more to come. The album was approved to be 20 songs, so I decided to start with probably the most popular, the most well-known. The ones that, like you say, we grew up listening to these, especially, you know, the mainstream education or mainstream homes. It's in us. We know these songs like the back of our hand. And so I thought songs that we know the best, that we're most comfortable with, would be easiest for us to and listeners to identify with when learning the language, especially those melodies, those quick melodies and the quick songs that are repetitive most of the time. So yeah, it's just an easy way to learn the language. We know that music is universal.
And you have a young child at home, hey? So are you using these songs to teach your child the language?
Yeah, actually. I wrote them when I was pregnant with her. And so in my mind, I like to think that her spirit already knows them. And we've been singing them. We've been listening to it in the car now. She's been hearing me sing them, you know, just to her. But to actually hear them on the car speaker or on our home speaker, you can tell she's really excited about it. She's even more passionate about it now than before. And she's singing the little songs. She's only two. So she's still developing language in general, but you can tell she gets little words in there and it's very cute.
Well, that brings me to the question, like, so then what age group is this album meant for then?
I think all ages. You know, even children who do not have language yet, you know, one-year-old or young babies, they're able to understand and comprehend language before they can even speak. They're still very beneficial. Just like we, you know, we'll have them listen to an English version. It's great to have that early introduction to the Gunyat Geha, to the Mohawk. But then, if I may, on the other end of the spectrum, it's for all ages. It's for our older generations too. I can't tell you how many people I've taught who were grandparents, caregivers, teachers, parents, older brother, older sister, who were excited to learn these songs because they could relate as a child. So they themselves were learning the language. And then they were excited to be able to sing that to the kids in their lives. So I really do. I leave it open and invite everybody to listen to it, especially, you know, there's many of us who've gone into adulthood not knowing any of our language at all. So it's a fun way and it's inviting. It's, you know, not maybe I, from personal experience, when we get into my language journey, you know, I talk about how it can be a little bit intimidating because it's so different than what our English brains are used to.
Yeah, when I was listening to the songs, the first thing that struck me is, of course, you know, they're so, the melodies are so, well, recognizable, but they're really pleasant musical arrangements. And then the next thing that struck me was the really adept way that, you know, you're pronouncing the words and singing the words. You know, how difficult was that for you to pick that up in your language journey, to pick up like the R's and the D's and the K's and the G's and all those parts of the language that really are quite different, as you said, from English?
They're very different. I in addition to this, I teach beginner Mohawk. That is the first, I spend 8 weeks just teaching phonetics. I call it Jolly Phonics for Mohawk because it really, that is the first hurdle. And I remember that being my first hurdle. That R, I mean, it's something that our physical mouths have never done. It is a muscle that needs to be exercised because we've never, are in the English language, that sound doesn't exist. It's a rolled R. I kind of describe it like an RL combination, like RLA. And so we spend a whole class just, you know, practicing that R. We do it really slow and we drag it out like la, lay. So, and then I, you know, we come back and we say, okay, now let's say it in proper time. It's la, lay. And I try to tell my students, you have to practice it. Your mouth doesn't know how to do it. So we have to just keep doing it. Several sounds, phonetics that are that way in Gunyakeha that, you know, I say, leave your English brain at the door because we're learning completely new rules today.
So who are your language teachers? Who did you have to consult with?
So I attended Ongowanaga Djokwa on Six Nations. I attended it as the 2-year program. My language teacher there is Rohahio Jordan Brandt, wonderful person, awesome and caring, beautiful teacher. Can't speak highly enough about him. As well as Garlun Huage Jeff Doreen. He's actually my first language teacher. Yeah, and he is part of the reason why I attended Ongowana, actually, because he attended years prior to me. So between the two of them, I'll send a little text here and there or ask them to approve a word, make sure I have the grammar and everything correct.
Is that kind of the common thing that we're seeing these days, is like people who have gone through the language programs, immersion, I might add, they then soon become language teachers themselves? Do you see that? And why do you think we see that?
I see a lot of that. There's a lot of people that are hungry for the language, but that don't have the opportunity to attend an immersion program. A lot of sacrifices have to be made that some people just are not in a space. Like, you know, for example, if you have a young child, that's a huge commitment. And although I did see people do that, I know it was tough. It was tougher for them than, you know, a young college student that could just come and go to school like regular. So yeah, I think there's a lot of people that it's easier for them just to attend a Zoom class. So the people that are coming out of Ongowanaga Djokwa are the ones that are teaching those classes.
What was the impetus to really commit yourself to learning the language? And was that something that was in your family, or, and are you the first person to bring the language back to your family?
We did not have language in our family. We're a couple generations away from a residential survivor. And as a result of that, you know, moved away from community, loss of language, we've always known that we were Indigenous, but we didn't really know cultures, practices, anything like that. So in particular language, it wasn't really something we even thought about as being a possibility. But because I've always had an interest in kind of reconnecting with the community, in particular, once I became involved with the Fort Erie Native Friendship Center, I became employed there at Fort Erie Aboriginal Head Start. I am an early childhood educator. I was a preschool teacher there for a couple of years, and the language we taught there was Gunyakeha. It was Mohawk language. And I was learning with the kids. I made a commitment when I was hired there that I would learn so that I could teach. And I was learning along with them. We were finding out, you know, what is this word? How do we pronounce it? It asked me, I say, I'm not sure. Let's find out. And you have to think at that time, there's not many resources now. There was even less then. This was 10 years ago. So it was very difficult to find those resources and to find out. And so people like Jeff Doreen, Garlin Huage, he was my resource. And from there, I fell in love with the language. I saw, you know, how excited the kids were about it. I felt pride knowing that I was learning it as well. And I made the decision to take a break from teaching and attend the full-time program. And from there, I thought about my own journey and how hard it was for me to find resources. And I knew I had these skills in early childhood education. I have some skills in art. And now this language skill that I have, I kind of meshed them all together. And I thought, I need to make resources. You know, I saw how excited these 30 kids I taught a year were about language. I want all of the children to learn, and I want it to be in all their homes. So Like I said, I meshed those three skills together and I started making language resources. And I have a website. It's teachnativeculture.com. And anyone who might be interested in purchasing or checking that out, there's books, like I mentioned, songs, little active games like freeze tag, all these things translated into the language that allow learning through play, basically.
Absolutely amazing. That's such a great thing that you've done, you've put into the world, you know. How has becoming proficient in the language affected you on the day-to-day? How has it affected you on a personal level?
I think a little differently, you know, like when you think about the way, if you're familiar with the language at all, maybe I'll explain it. The way that it's written, the way that it's spoken is a sentence. And so, you know, in English, you say that is red, you know, or that is blue, that is green. When you're just saying, it's just very matter of fact. There's three words. They are three separate entities and they all have a meaning. In our language, when we say something is green or blue or a color, we're adding an identity to it. We are comparing it often to something that's in nature. So even in my English brain, sometimes I'm like, oh, like it's like the sky, you know what I mean? It changes the way that your English brain speaks as well or thinks.
Amazing, like a poet.
That's what they say, right? Our language is, our culture is entwined into our language. And so the elders say it's important for us to learn our language because that makes us even more connected.
Absolutely beautiful. And then musically, you know, you mentioned Jeff Doreen, and you know, he's the first person that I have ever witnessed who takes the language and to adapt it into contemporary songs like Beatles songs and so on and so forth. But musically, you know, I just want to mention the fact that, you know, you're related to one of the singers who I greatly, greatly admire. And that is Shawnee Kish. That is your sibling. And Shawnee appears on four of the tracks on this album. So what part did Shawnee play with you musically and with the language?
My sister is a beautiful and wonderfully talented musician. I give her all the credit for how it sounds musically. I call myself, I can sing like a kindergarten teacher, and that's why a large portion of the songs are me singing. When it comes to that, like, you know, just being fun and upbeat. When it came to the lullabies, I left that in her hands. She did a beautiful showcase of her talent. She did much better of a job than I could have. And then she also she co-produced it. She is responsible for the musical arrangements. That is her gift. And that is what she offered to help me with on this album. So I'm eternally grateful to having my sister really as a partner on this album, for sure.
That's so nice. And again, you're bringing the language back to the family.
Yeah, I heard her singing it today. And she's like, maybe I don't know exactly what I'm singing, but she was singing it right. Like having that experience with her, she ended up learning language.
And some traditional instruments as well. A hand drum and a rattle are on some of those tracks. So this is, again, it gets the children introduced to those traditional musical instruments. I just wanted to talk a little bit more about your language journey and like what did you find to be the most challenging when you were in the immersion program?
I consider myself still very much a beginner learner, even though I have the ability to write the language. I feel like that has and always has been my strength, even when it comes to English. I because I'm spending so much time breaking it apart in my brain, having conversations was very tricky for me. And because they go so fast, right? And so I would sit there and I'd be breaking apart a sentence and then they'd already be, you know, onto a different topic. But I mean, that just comes with time too. That comes with time and practice. And in all reality, the more people that you have in kind of your language circle, the more you can practice that. And so me having then moved away from the community, I don't really have that language circle anymore. Me and Jeff Doreen, we will often get on the phone. And I find like, I always say to him, I'm a little rusty. I'm rusty right now. But then by the end of the conversation, we're going and having full conversations again. So it's just practicing, right? It's just, they say, if you don't use it, you lose it. So,
yeah. I would love to hear be on the one of the ends of those telephone conversations. That'd be so great. Have you dreamt in the language yet? They often say when people take on the language, they know it's rooted in them when you start to dream in the language. Has that happened to you?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Definitely when I was in the program, like regularly I was. And I almost feel like I'm spirit, like as we all are probably, I'm a bit spiritual, right? And so I kind of believe that I've been visited by some people too. And I've been talking to them. I never really remembered exactly what we were talking about, but I knew that it was like positive and encouraging. And I remember being like very touched by that, being very happy.
I'm just wondering if you have like advice for folks who are coming in now as language learners, like, you know, I'm a, you know, mature person, 60 years old, and like, I'm just so busy. But to be honest with you, with all of the language resources that are available in my community in Six Nations, I've got nothing but excuses not to take it on. And, you know, being busy is just another one of those excuses. So what advice can you give someone who, you know, really is busy and you know, people, as you said, who have families and children and what have you, not that that's the only thing that keeps you busy, but you know, what advice can you give them to, if they're really interested in just even picking up the little bit, the smallest bits of language that they can?
Yeah. Yeah. And like I say, I understand that there's so many different, everybody has their own scenarios. Everyone has their own story. And I completely understand. I have a 2-year-old, you know, it's somebody just made a Facebook post saying it's an Olympic sport to write in a professional email with a 2-year-old. I was like, yes, it is. but you know, it's just like you say, every little bit that you can do, just think about times that you can do it. You know, for me, I drive a lot. I'm always driving back and forth from Newmarket, a little bit north of Toronto, to Fort Erie. And so that's 2 hours of open time. And I used to, when I went to Ungawana Kantokwa, I drove from Fort Erie to Six Nations every day. You know, I had to study. There was a lot of studying involved, a lot of listening, a lot of repeating the words that you're learning. And so I would make recordings on my phone and then play it in the car. And so for an hour and a half every day that I drive, that was my study time. And I just listened to it. So it's kind of like, if you can find these passive times, if you're a person who goes to the gym, like listening to recordings, the songs that I just released are a great opportunity, you know, even just listening to them, even if you don't know what they mean, it's the listening. They say that we didn't have written word. That's actually a mainstream thing. It's better for us to listen to it than to read it. Anyway, so, you know, you can do the listening, you can get it into your mind, into your spirit. And if you want to know what it means, well, then you can go back and read it after it's already connected into you. So yeah, I would definitely say recordings are the best, because they're a little bit, like, it's a passive way of learning it.
Yeah. You know, like if we can, like, you know, as children, you know, we were always told, hey, if you could just learn your homework as much as you learn those songs on the radio, then you'd be okay, you know. So putting the language into music is just a brilliant, brilliant way of sharing and teaching. And then also, I love the fact that you talked about phonetics. So, you know, seeing the words spelt phonetically and pronouncing the words from that form of spelling. For me, I had, like, when I did a language class a long, long, long time ago, that's exactly what I was doing when the teacher was talking, you know, using the words. I was just like trying to spell it out the best way I heard it. And for me, that worked, because it's a visual type of learning, but also I got to repeat it back after reading it.
Yeah, yeah. That's
Christy Talbot is an educator, a language learner, and speaker. Her children's album is called Sing in Mohawk with Yago. You can find it on multiple streaming services. You can also find it on Christy's website at www.teachnativeculture.com, where you'll find lots of other great language resources, games and craft projects for professional educators or just for you and your family. It would be remiss on our part to evoke Christy's sister's name, Shawnee Kish, without giving you, the listeners, a chance to experience the powerful, soulful vocals and expert songwriting of this Mohawk performer. Shawnee is a 2022 Juno nominee for her self-titled EP. Shawnee won the CBC Searchlight competition in 2020 and is a strong advocate for the two-spirit LGBTQ communities. This is Win Me Over from Shawnee's 2023 released EP titled Revolution.
I like watching you try to win me over. Don't resist the urge to move any slower. I like watching you try to get me closer.
Was Win Me Over by Shawnee Kish, sister to Christy Talbot, our special guest today on Words and Culture. You can clearly hear that lightning struck twice in that family, with both sisters putting really quality and meaningful things out into the world. Here are your three quick words that we can try in Ganyageha. Let's pretend we're little kids like the ones listening to Christy's album and learn our numbers today. Here are numbers 1 to 3. 1. Aska. A-ska. 2. Degani. De-ga-ni. 3. Asa. A-sa. Nyawa to you for joining me on Words and Culture today. Next time on Words and Culture, I'm going to take you to a Cayuga Games night where there were lots of laughs, lots of yummy food, and lots of Cayuga language being spoken too. Until next time, onigiwahi, be well, and take care.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Onigiwahi.
Gigawabamin. Soko seni denit e. Ninen yuji hina.
Eko se.
Kakuhut dao. We'll see you again.
This is Monica Passos for CKUT.
Stop putting your TV set on, please.
Doobie-doobie-doo. Bye-bye.
What's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. I'm your host for the evening, Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial. Lover, lover, lover,
lover. My lipstick, lover, lover, lover. I like lipstick on my neck. You let me know I'm your number one select. I like lipstick on my neck, hands around my waist, so you know what's coming next. I wanna feel your lips on mine. I just wanna feel a little tongue. We don't have a long time.